Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello, and welcome back to a Tuesday night edition of the Chase Thomas podcast, where I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, and I'm joined by a first-timer ATL fellow, like an ATL, ATLian. I don't feel good about even saying that, but another Atlanta native, Atlantan. Malik Brown. Malik, good evening, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, Chase. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here, man. I'm glad we were able to make this work tonight. I do an outline for the show and everything, and then of course just stuff breaks. The hashtag right. This league stuff, and Simmons reportedly, per the Philly Inquirer, telling the Sixers that he would not like to be back with the team. What do you make of that right out of the gate?
I mean, did we not see this coming? Like right after the Hawks beat them, it seemed like Doc Rivers was on the fence about keeping Ben, and then of course you had the post game conference with Joel Embiid talking about how he felt like the turning point of the game was when Ben didn't go up for that shot and instead pass it out. And I felt like at that moment it was kind of like, is there any way you could mend this or bring this guy back? And I mean, when you look at Ben Simmons, the problem is it seems like he doesn't have any confidence. He doesn't shoot. We don't know if he can shoot. We've seen things of, you know, maybe videos, and I mean, we've been seeing videos recently now, but those videos, you don't want to buy into those type of training camp videos and the off season videos, because when it's different from in game situations. So, but at the end of the day, Ben Simmons is an all star, all defensive player, but it just he doesn't fit with what the 76ers are trying to do, and it seems like this has been a topic of discussion for the past couple of years, like. Is Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid a good pair? Like, do they mesh? Should they trade Ben Simmons? Should they trade Embiid? And, I mean, once you've seen what Embiid has done last season, and you see you can't trade a guy like him, and then he just signed that big contract. Like, he's literally the franchise of the 76ers. I mean, at some point, you got to kick the tires on Ben. You have to kick the tires, and now it just kind of seems like a point of when he'll get traded as far as being if he gets traded. So, I mean, like I said, we should have saw this coming like months ago.
Well, now it's real, because Daryl Morey, by all accounts, was asking for the world from teams, and there was a lot of reporting on what he was asking when teams were calling about the availability of Ben Simmons, and it was preposterous by and large. Now, right. The leverage has to be hurt here, right? Like, Daryl Morey, this puts Daryl Morey and the Sixers in a far more difficult spot than they were before he came out publicly saying that he has no interest in returning to Philadelphia, which, like you said, we saw this coming, but he hadn't done it. And Ben's a pretty quiet guy, and there is always the possibility that he doesn't force his hand in this way. Well, it looks like Ben is forcing his hand, and when players of Ben Simmons' caliber force their hand, what this tells me is, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, Malik, but like we've seen this so many times with superstars in this league where once they force their hand like that, especially right before, like we're only a month or two out from really getting ramped up for this NBA season, and the Sixers cannot let this get drawn out. They cannot have this hanging over a team that just finished first in the East, a team ready to win now. Joel Embiid, like the time is ticking. Like it's just where he had another knee injury he played through this year. Top five player in this league. It just a force, MVP guy, the heart and soul of the city. All that's true. But if you were to tell me that this was still happening 3 years from now, I would be very, very surprised. I think it's just with the nature of where he is and his size and everything in his history, I think every year is precious and they need to be doing everything they possibly can to win a title year in, year out, because I think once it's over, it's going to be over very quickly for Embiid, unfortunately. But what do you make of his trade value and like what the Sixers are going to be able to do in a shorter amount of time? Because the plan was like just what was that, a week ago, where it's like he's likely to start a season in Philly. His trade value was not great based on how it ended last year. He was going to be able to get back on track, blow teams out with his group of veterans, with Joel Embiid, just get his confidence back. And then you could see at the deadline, now it's changed. And now Morey can't ask for the world, or he's just going to have Ben Simmons like not play and Ben Simmons just do the James Harden stuff, which I think is very possible now that he has just been there. And you don't want to be that, because we saw what the Rockets got for Harden, and we saw what that situation turned into, because the Rockets could have gotten Ben Simmons if they'd handled it differently, right? So I don't know. I know I just threw a lot at you, but that's where my head's at.
Yeah, it's crazy. We talk about value for the superstars that have been wanting out or whatnot. I mean, we have history. Like, you talk about the James Harden trade. I mean, it really, in my opinion, wasn't even traded at all. You talk about years ago with Paul George when he wanted to get out. It wasn't an even trade. I guess it kind of did become an even trade because that was a trade with OKC. They got Oladipo. So, at that time, nobody knew Oladipo was going to do what he did when he got to the Pacers. So at that point, it really wasn't even trade. So now you want to go to Ben Simmons, and everybody wants to say, you know, I guess the obvious thing would be Ben for Dame, because of course Dame wants out too. Well, okay, sorry, we don't know. He should want out, but you know, he's the guy type of guy that, you know, wants to stay and doesn't want to do super team thing. So, but it should be obvious that he should want out if he wants to win. That should be the obvious trade, Ben for Dame. But in reality, what we've seen in the past with these traded superstars, you're not going to get that even trade. So, and I know earlier in the season, they were talking about Ben for Brogdon and maybe some picks or whatnot. That sounds like the type of trade that Ben might have, that the Sixers might have to take if they can't come up to anything else. You think of maybe a trade like maybe for the Kings, where Darian Fox goes to the Sixers and Ben goes there. I mean, are the Kings willing to give up Darian Fox for Ben Simmons? Like, how will that work? Like, is that even a good trade for them? And then you think of a team like maybe Minnesota. Now, we don't know how things are going as far as like D'Angelo Russell and how those guys are working out there. So maybe that's a trade that Minnesota and the Sixers can benefit from. I mean,
who's moving in that deal?
So in my opinion, we saw the report where we said Ben and Maxie may be on the move, because of course they're both clutch clients.
Mm-hmm.
So I would assume D'Lo and maybe somebody like Malik Beasley. I mean, there's no way you're gonna touch Anthony Edwards, and you're definitely not touching for Cat. Is it an even trade?
No, absolutely not.
Not really.
Not even close. I don't want to be part of D'Lo. D'Lo didn't even look like an NBA player last year for part of the stretch. Like, do you remember that Hawks Timberwolves game from, I think it was like February, maybe, where like
game?
Say it again.
No, it wasn't the MLK. Was it the game they played on MLK Day?
No, I think it because it was in Minnesota.
Oh, okay. Well, I do know what you're talking about then. I do know. Yeah, that was
where they won by like 40. They yeah. obliterated them, and yeah, Russell right. looked awful. And yeah. like I won't forget Rathburn and Neek just being completely disgusted with what the Timberwolves were yeah. throwing out there. And Russell looked awful. And Russell, by and large, like he's just not a he's a third guard. Like he is a change of pace third guard, run the second unit yeah. type thing. That is not what you trade Ben Simmons for. If I'm trading Ben Simmons, but the problem with where the Sixers are at goes back to Embiid is like they can't bring in any young guys. So you can't trade Ben Simmons for a collection of young assets like Anthony Edwards or whoever yeah. because they're not going to be ready to help Joel Embiid win a title until Joel Embiid's yeah. out of this league or out of being right. a serious MVP guy. Like the timelines don't mesh. So I wouldn't go anywhere near that if I'm Philadelphia. Like you said, the most obvious is Dame. Like Dame yeah. for Ben is the most obvious, but like, I don't know. Like Dame in the East, Dame and Embiid wins the East next year, I think.
For
like,
sure. I think that's dangerous. That's very dangerous. Like, I don't think anybody in the East wants that to happen.
No, even Brooklyn especially. Like, they don't want any of that. Right. They don't want to have to go through Dame and Joel Embiid in a 7-game series. Because the chances of Brooklyn having all three healthy and working perfectly for an entire playoff run is just unlikely. Like, do yeah. I think they can easily win the East with just two of those guys? Yes. Do I think if it's Dame and Embiid and two of the Brooklyn superstars, then I mean it could go either way. I mean, this is bad news yeah. for the Hawks and the Bucks, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. And I don't know who the right guy is. Like, is it Sacramento? Do you call about Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox? Like, is that yeah. something you look at for Ben Simmons? If he wants to go back to California. That is something I would be more intrigued by if I'm Daryl Morey. And then, I mean, not a lot else pops for me. Like
it's not. And I feel like it's kind of just like, I feel like it's kind of more on the other team. It's like, mm-hmm. okay, do we want Ben Simmons? Like, we get it. He's an all-star. He does this and that. But the one thing that we want him to do, that he just doesn't do it. So it's like, are you willing to trade what you have for that? It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard at this point.
Yeah, I have no idea what they're going to do. But I am very, very intrigued to see what happens with yes. Ben Simmons and what Morey's going to be able to get. Because I think it's going to be my prediction as of August 31st, Malik, is that it's going to be bad for the Sixers. I think there's... I just don't think they're going to get the right amount of value. I think Morey's going to end up getting too much young assets because that's going to be the best yeah. offer to him. It's like multiple first rounders, some intriguing young talent like an Anthony Edwards or something, but it's not going to mesh perfectly with their timeline. So I think they're going to take a step back in the short term. They'll be okay long term post Embiid with whatever they get. But I really am concerned that there's just not enough of a win now, big swing, like an equivalent trade for Ben Simmons to keep their timeline just nice and tidy. I just don't think that exists outside of Dame and maybe De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield, but like that's about it.
Yeah, and it's funny, I was talking to somebody on Twitter and I was like, for the Sixers, it kind of feels like it's Dame or bust. Like, that's really what it feels like.
I agree. Rondo to the Lakers. The jokes about their age is becoming a big thing. I saw we saw the pictures with Melo working out this week. Where are you at with the Lakers? Would you have used the veteran minimum for their last roster spot on Rajon Rondo, or would you have gone somewhere else?
Well, since Kevin Love has decided that he wants to keep his money and rather stay on the bench on Cleveland, then I mean, you got to
blame him
somewhere.
That man is not healthy, and he is going to yeah. collect some checks. Like I don't know why any players even would ever agree. Like me, like who I am as a person, I would never once just agree to a buyout. What do you mean? Take less just to go play somewhere else where I might? No. What? No. You're
exactly
paying me everything.
Not have a chance to even, like, I mean, you might get there, but I mean, look at what Blake Griffin did when he went to the Nets.
Right.
Had a buyout and then, I mean, what? Didn't even get to the conference finals. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of, you're taking a risk depending on what team you go, but just the Lakers in general. Of course, yeah, the jokes have been about the age or whatnot, but with me, it's kind of, and I'm kind of in this mode where it's like, okay, you have LeBron James, you have Anthony Davis, you have Russell Westbrook. Like, they're going to get you somewhere. Like, and honestly, I feel like that group alone, or that three in general, I just feel like that three may be the best. I don't see anybody else topping them in the Western Conference. Like, okay, we can just go down the list right now. I mean, the Clippers are going to be without Kawhi for, I don't even know, he may not even come back this season. So I feel like you can kind of exit them out. You got the Suns. I don't want to disrespect them at all. They had a great season last year, but they also had some help getting there as well. So we don't know how Chris Paul is going to look another year older or whatnot. And then you have teams like, of course, the Nuggets, the Jazz. I just don't see them tipping the scale as much. But you have the Lakers, who have all this star power. And, of course, it's all star power, but it's still it should be enough to get you to the finals. Now, as far as them winning the finals, I don't think if it's against the Nets or if let's say Dame goes to the Sixers or something like that, they're going to be in the fight. They're going to definitely be in a fight, and they're going to be very limited as far as going against a team that likes to run a lot. If it's a team that likes to run a lot, they might be in some trouble because they got some old legs on that team. So, but as far as the Western Conference in general, I just think they're the team to beat. I just don't see a team topping them at this point.
I don't know. I would not put them up. They're just too old. I think, and they're just they're both too old. And I just still think they're relying way too much on Anthony Davis being 100% healthy for this full run. I think LeBron is starting to slow down more. Like, we're already seeing a little bit with the dunks. I forgot who it was that made this point on the Athletic NBA show. But, like, the reason that we're losing our minds or we're blown away by LeBron dunks in 2021 is that they don't happen nearly as often. His athleticism, like his feats, his just crazy feats of athleticism are few and far between now. Does that mean he's not still a top five player in this league? No, he is. But it's just, I think it's still just asking way too much of him at this point to carry a heavy load if Anthony Davis is not right. And there's not a lot of options if Anthony Davis is not right outside of LeBron having to carry another heavy load this season in a Western Conference that's tough. I think the East got a lot better. I think the West is more open, so that's good for the Lakers. But I'm still pretty high on the Jazz. I think they did everything right they needed to do this offseason. Would not be surprised if they came out of the West next year. I think the Nuggets, working on their extension with their guys and with getting Murray back, it's hard. Like, that's going to be a really tough out. Like, those two are the wild card favorites in the West, depending on who gets a number one seed. Because as we saw last year, remember all the chatter before the playoffs was that, like, oh, the West could go the 7 seed upsetting the 2 seed, the 8 seed upsetting the 1 seed. Guess how many times that happened last year? Zero. Then none of them did it. The Lakers were in that 7 spot. Like, it's hard to run the gambit when you're on the road right away. Like, the NBA playoffs favor home teams. Like, there's studies that show you, like, you get more calls. Like, things just typically go your way more often than not when you're at home. So, do I believe the Lakers can get in the top 4 in the West next year? They can. I don't know if I would bet on it, because I think the Nuggets are going to win a bunch of games. The Jazz are going to win a bunch of games. And then it's going to be a dogfight for those other spots. Like, I don't know. Do you think it's a shoe-in? I mean, the Warriors are right there. Like, the Warriors, with a healthy Klay back at some point, and just with their additions, and we'll get to the Warriors in a second. But I think about it, and I'm like, are we sure? And mention, obviously, the team that just went to the NBA Finals in the West, the Suns, they're probably going to be a top 4 seed. So then you look at it, and you're like, oh, there's not a lot of room for air, because the West is changing, and there's just a lot of top-heavy teams, and then it's the bottom. Like, the East is deep. The East has, like, 12 good teams, 13 good teams. The West has 4 or 5 elite teams, and then the rest is like, the rest is New Orleans, Sacramento, Minnesota, like, there is Oklahoma City, which is just not a real organization anymore. And I will rail against that monstrosity that Sam Presti is doing. Like, people were offended and disgusted by Sam Hinkie stuff, which I agree, it was taking it to the extreme. It was not good for basketball, it's not healthy, that kind of thing. But Thunder are basically doing the same thing. They're just keeping SGA around. They're paying Udor. They're doing little things to, and they play hard. Like, that's the other thing, is like, they play hard and win too many games, but they're not a team that's trying to win anytime soon. They just keep taking in these veterans and then flipping them, and it's just it's awful. I hate what's happening there. I think it's probably smart, but I very much am against it. Hope nothing but bad things for Clay Bennett, the Oklahoma City Thunder, for the foreseeable future, for this monstrosity that they've got going on in Oklahoma City. But that is neither here nor there. What do you make of that? Do you get what I'm saying with the West? Is that, like, they have to win enough regular season games to get in that top four spot, but they're so old that I don't know if this old group can win enough regular season games in the West. If Anthony Davis misses too much time, if LeBron takes some breaks, I don't know if they can do that. And if they can't get in the top four, then I don't think they're real contenders.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And I feel like over the years, with just LeBron-led teams, it's kind of more like, and I feel like we get to a point where it's like, they're not really itching for the first seed or the second seed or whatnot. I mean, of course, you want a top four seed, of course, but it's more like the top two seeds. It's kind of like you just want to get in. You want to get in. And it's like,
that's what they said last year, and they were bounced in round one.
And they got bounced. And I feel like, of course, AD and LeBron, they got hurt at crucial times in the season, which I feel like that was a big part of why they look like that in the playoffs. I mean, but not to take away anything from the Suns too. They were definitely hooping that series. But I do see, with how old they are, that team in general, it's going to be a lot of resting. So I don't see them going hard for a first seed or second seed. I feel like they can float around that 3, 4, 5. I don't know if they want to. I wouldn't want to be in 5, but 3, 4, 5 area. Because they're going to rest. LeBron is going to have some day. No matter how much LeBron says he wants to play or whatnot, he's gonna rest. Like you said, the health of Anthony Davis is maybe the biggest key, because it's like, in my opinion, I feel like he's the X factor, and not even the X factor. He has to be the best player for the Lakers to win in general, and he has to be healthy. So that's a big thing. And then you have to go as far as, and we haven't even talked about, does Russell Westbrook even fit into this? I mean, in my opinion, I feel like Russell and LeBron, they kind of have like the same like head down type of style. Of course, LeBron's more of a playmaker, but, and I mean, Russell Westbrook is a playmaker as well, but can all of this fit together? And that's where, I've seen where people have asked me, or I've seen it on like social media or whatnot, like, since if you don't know if it can work, how do you think that they'll get to the finals or whatnot? And at the end of it, I'm just like, it's star power. I just feel like at some point, star power can beat out a team that maybe has a lot of chemistry or whatnot. I mean, it doesn't work. It doesn't happen like that all the time. But I mean, at the end of the day, you got LeBron James, Anthony Davis, who are I don't know. They were two top five players in the league at once, playing on the same team together. Then you have Russell Westbrook. No, undoubtedly, he's maybe a top 10 player in the league. When you have that much star power.
Wait, did you just say Russell Westbrook is still a top 10 player in the league?
It's questionable.
I'm not allowing. And no, it's not questionable. We're not doing that on this podcast. We're not even. It's stricken from the record. I'll bleep it for you. But
Please keep it. Mm-hmm. Please keep it.
Top 10 Russell Westbrook in 2021,
okay.
2022.
Okay, top 15?
No.
Wow.
Have you seen the All-NBA, the All-NBA teams? That's 15 players. Three teams. First team, second team, third team. He fits where on any of those lists?
Was Chris Paul on the top?
He was.
I'm taking Russell Westbrook over Chris Paul.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh,
for sure.
This is stuff that you tell me before we start recording a podcast, so I know that I need to look elsewhere, because I don't know what to do with this. Oh, my goodness.
okay, so you don't have him as he's not a top five point guard in your opinion, like right now?
No.
Who's your top five? I'm interested.
Ooh, okay. Give me 1 second. Let me pull it up just so to make sure I don't forget anybody and not over.
I feel like the top three are kind of evident. I mean, are kind of.
I mean, Steph, obviously.
Steph, Dame.
Lonzo Ball. No, I'm just kidding. Trey.
Lonzo Ball.
Luka.
Okay, so you count Luka. Okay.
Yeah, he's a lead guard.
As a point guard. Okay.
Yeah, he's a lead guard. I think Luka and Trey are both lead guards. Jamal Murray, Chris Paul. I would say
you're putting Jamal over Russ?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man.
Did you miss the bubble? Did you just sleep through the bubble? Are we moving past the 50-point burger we saw? Are we moving past him just pulling the Denver Nuggets almost to an NBA Finals appearance?
And I don't and you know, a lot of people tell me that, and I'm mm-hmm. just like, I mean, and I'm not taking anything from the bubble, but just that season, like that run he went on in general was kind of like mm-hmm. I just always felt like Jamal Murray was a very inconsistent player, and at that time he just really hit in the bubble. But every other
Kyle Lowry, just to keep it going, Kyle Lowry.
Oh,
absolutely. No question.
No question.
Kyrie, still better. You got to put Kyrie in there.
That's the only one I'm accepting.
De'Aaron Fox is a possibility. But I would say Drew Holiday, too, is a better point guard than Russell Westbrook. Ben Simmons, if we count Ben Simmons, yes. The Lakers would literally drive Westbrook to, like, they would pay for the flying, they would pay for the contract, like, they would do whatever it took. If there was an offer of Westbrook for Simmons, they're doing that without question. They're not even hesitating. Like, they're blocking him from the building. They're removing his key card. They're just like, no.
Wow, this is the first time. You know what? It kind of reminds me.
Mm-hmm.
Of that top 10 list that just came out. I forgot who put it out. Was it Bleacher? Mm-hmm. It was either Bleacher Report or
Oh, and I forgot one more. Sorry. I thought of one more because there's just a lot of good ones. Ja Morant is a better basketball player than Russell Westbrook in 2020.
No way.
Yes, he is.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. It's over.
Okay, what is it that you don't like about Russell Westbrook?
He doesn't play defense. He's never been good at defense. He's not a shooter. He, like, his style, like, Russell Westbrook is fine as, like, a fourth guy on a contender. Like, if he is someone, like, I've watched so much Russell Westbrook in my life, but he is a good player. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Like, he's maybe the most athletic league guard we've ever seen in this league. He's really great driving downhill, finding guys. He's an underrated passer. I think that is something that people have overlooked. Like, his stuff with Steven Adams was great. Like, he had he was so good at finding Adams and finding guys on pick and rolls, and he was fine. Like, he was just really good at just getting the ball where it needed to go, whipping it around. Those days are long gone. That being said, it's just those guys ahead of him. This is a guard-driven league. Like, this is now a guard-driven league. This is just, there's so much talent at the lead ball handler spot that I'm just like, yeah, that's just where he is. Like, it's not even like a huge indictment on Russ. It's just more of like, there are just a lot of guys better because this is a guard heavy league.
And I feel like, as far as you saying, okay, being the fourth option on the team, it's funny, but I don't feel like he can be the best option on a championship team or a contending team. Cause I feel like
he has to be Reggie Jackson. He has to be where it's like he can swing a series maybe if his shots are falling. He tries really hard on defense. He's finding dudes. He can step in there when needed, but he should not be one of the main cogs.
Yeah, I don't think he should be the main option because I feel like we've seen that numerous times and they just didn't.
Well, being
work
the
out.
13th best guard, league guard in the NBA.
Well, see, this is the first time I'm hearing something like this, so. I'm mm-hmm. trying to wrap my head around it.
I mean,
but I definitely don't think 13th best. I feel like that is a reach.
It's not like, but Steph, Lillard, Lowry, Simmons, Paul, Murray, Kyrie, Doncic, Holiday, Trey.
No,
I mean,
Holiday.
Yeah, Holiday just won a title.
Yeah,
he just swung
was
it.
Like the third option.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, who would you rather have as a third option? Westbrook or Drew? I know what Drew's giving me. All NBA defense. Great shooting when he needs to. Super smart player. Does all the little things. Rebounds really well for his position. Knows his role. I don't think Russ knows how to be a number three. Holiday knows how to be number three on a contender.
Yeah.
Give me Holiday every day of the week.
I don't think he can. Like I said, and it's kind of hard to even see Russ as a third option. I mean, that's what he's, I feel like that's what he's about to be in LA. But I just feel like with the star power, I think the Lakers can do it. I think they can.
Well, those are two separate questions.
Well, let me say, I don't think the Lakers, I think the Lakers will get to the finals. Now, if they run up against a team like the Nets or something, the Nets are going to squash them, in my opinion. But I just feel like Russell Westbrook, the only thing I see him not being able, he's not a great shooter. We know that. He's not a great shooter at all. In my opinion, he has his times on defense or whatnot. But other than that, like, the dude, we talk about the triple doubles a lot. But I feel like that's something you just can't look past.
I can and I will. Like, it's time. I mean, you need to start getting ready for Jalen Suggs to pass him in the rankings.
No way. You have to stop. You gotta stop.
Yeah, I'm joking that. But I am joking there. But, I mean, LaMelo is coming. Like, LaMelo.
LaMelo's
coming. But we'll see. I'll strike all that from the record to save you.
I just want to keep this podcast, this episode in the archives for this season. Russell Westbrook things, we can come back to this episode.
absolutely. That's fair. I'm not the least bit nervous about this whatsoever. Do you like the idea of extending Aaron Gordon in Denver?
I think that's a good thing to do, because I feel like when Paul Millsap was in that role, I think Paul Millsap did really good in that four role next to Jokic. And Aaron Gordon is basically, like, in my opinion, like a younger, more athletic Paul Millsap. So, and for what he did while he was there, Aaron Gordon, what he did against the Blazers in that series they play, I think you should extend him. I just think he just brings different facets to the Nuggets already have like a whole bunch of scorers already to even you got Murray, and then you have Porter elevating his game. Like, he's probably going to be even better this year. So, yeah, I mean, keep Aaron Gordon, keep that group. I think they'll be solid. I like it.
Okay. I'm a little concerned, like, who gets moved. Because you've got Barton, you've got Gordon, you've got Jokic, you've got Jamal.
Morris, yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of mouths to feed.
They got a lot of options.
No. Like, they're going to be very, very quick. Like, they're... I don't even know what their cap sheet looks like right now, but by extending Gordon, it's going to get even crazier. Like, they are already an expensive team that's about to, like, guess who comes up in restricted free agency next year? It's Michael Porter Jr. Like, I don't know what he's going to get.
Already.
That's what I'm saying. So they got him. So if they extend Gordon, like, I don't think there's a path to them paying Jokic, Barton, Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., and Jamal Murray.
What kind of money do you see him getting, though?
Which one?
Gordon. Sorry.
Gordon, I mean, I think he'll get less than what MPJ is in for next summer. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be fine. I want to pull it up. Like, I would do 3 to 4. I mean, you gave up a lot to get him anyway, and he was good before the injury and before Jamal Murray went down. You could see a little bit, and I think he is a nice fit next to Jokic, and I think... him just being the fourth guy and being able to hide out in the corner a lot, I think will be good for him. Yeah. And just his defensive versatility is going to be super helpful when you've got Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic out there, and even Will Barton for stretches. So I think he will serve a strong purpose there as they try and win now. But It's a lot of pressure to both win now, and this is an expensive team with Kroenke as the owner, and we haven't seen Denver at this point. We haven't seen how much they're going to dip into the luxury tax and just what it's going to look like when they get in the repeater tax stuff. Like, I don't know. This is a very expensive team that needs to get into the finals very quickly.
Yeah, and it's funny that you talk about these, like, the Nuggets in general, just having all these players that are coming up with, like...
Oh, speaking of, by the way, let me just throw this out there. It's a four-year, $88 million extension is what he's eligible for. So they're projecting 2 to 3 years per the post for $20 to $21 million. But as you were saying...
So I feel like another team that could be heading in this direction is the Hawks.
Mm. I think they're already there. I mean, they're already maxed out. They're already capped out.
They're close. They maxed out Collins and Trey. So now you hear them talking about trying to extend Herter.
You have to. Who's more important than John Collins?
And I feel like when you're looking at Herter's deal, you have to look at players like Duncan Robinson. He got, what, 90 mil for, what, four years? So he's probably going to get around that ballpark. And then, okay, you got Hunter coming up. You got Cam coming up. Oh. You don't know if you're going to trade Cam.
Well, you're not keeping both. You're not paying both. Like, that's the unfortunate part of this.
At some point, yeah. Somebody got to go. But, I mean, it just feels like – and it's like this is the type of – these.
It's a good problem to have. They have a lot of people to pay. It's just when people get crazy with Sharif Cooper and stuff where I'm like, you need to calm it down. That man is never playing a meaningful minute in an Atlanta Hawk uniform. This is a team that might win the title in 2 years. Like, you need to get out of here with this nonsense. Like, that man is not playing a meaningful, like, no offense to him, love the Atlanta connection, all that kind of stuff. That man is not, like, backup point guards do not just grow up with a team and then stay behind them and then develop into just the permanent backup to Trae Young. Right. No, it's going to be the Dellen Wrights, the Lou Williams. You're just going to insert different veteran guy here. Cooper will play for 19 different teams in the NBA, and that'll be it. But, like, this Jalen Johnson, that's the dude who I am so excited for. The Grant Hill comparisons. I'm already just...
Yeah.
I mean, he's 6'9", super long, looked great in summer league. He's someone you have to now forecast. Like, I mean, that one's way down the pipe. But, like, Hunter's knee. Like, I have no idea. I am terrified about Hunter's knee. But what we saw before the injury... He was doing some point forward stuff. He was taking shots off the dribble. He was doing stuff that you're like, oh, this changes how you would pay this person. This is changes how we view this person. Cam looked great in game six. Like, I'm a huge Cam guy. Like, I am a big, big Cam guy. The fact that he is popping up in Pacers and Cavs trade rumor stuff tells me that teams can smell blood in the water with Atlanta, where they know they can't pay all these guys. And they know that the Hawks do not have time to develop Cam anymore. They just don't, and that's what stinks. But I'm also like, are we sure that Cam just shouldn't get the DeAndre Hunter spots? Like, that Hunter should actually be the odd man out because of the injury concerns. He's a lot older. You are like, he's probably not going to get much better than what he is at this point. So, like, do you sell low or potentially high if he comes back and his knee looks healthy for a little bit? But, like, I'm terrified of that knee stuff. Cam, I mean, obviously had his Achilles stuff too, but the upside with Cam is so much higher than Hunter that I don't know. It's a really, really tough spot, and I go back and forth depending on the day.
Yeah, the like you said, the upside with Cam is crazy, because I just feel like, them coming out of the draft, I mean, we know Hunter got drafted first, but I mean fourth. I'm saying, like, the Hawks drafted him first, but Cam was kind of like the guy that everybody wanted, and they just knew that he was going to be this guy. Like, and I mean, I think they even had like a poll during the rookie class. They were like, Cam Newton has the, I mean, not Cam Newton, I'm sorry. Sorry, Cam Newton. Cam Reddish has the most potential out of everybody in his draft class, like, to be a superstar or whatnot. And, I mean, he's shown, like, glimpses these past two seasons, but it hasn't been on a consistent level. And that's what's kind of, like, I feel like that's killing his stock at some point. Like, okay, yeah, he had a good game six. But other than, like, if we look at how he did the entire season while he was playing, I mean, he really didn't look good earlier in the season. So if this, I feel like this is the year right here where it's kind of like, okay, if you can't see a consistent Cam, then you got to try to kick the brakes. Like, there's no reason of even trying to, like, hold on to him at this point, because it's like, you got these other players. Kevin Herter showed up in the playoffs last year. had an amazing game seven against the Sixers. You like that. You like to see that. At some point during the season, DeAndre Hunter was probably one of the most consistent players on the Hawks team. So he has that. Then you already got John Collins and Trae Young. Cam Reddish is the odd man out, in my opinion, because he hasn't shown that much. He hasn't shown that much through two seasons. So I feel like when it comes down to next season and these extensions and whatnot, it's going to be hard to see what they do with Cam. And they might even trade him earlier than that. Who knows? Like you said, he's been in Pacers talks and Cavs talks. So you don't. It's kind of hard to even figure out what to do with him.
Yeah, it stinks because I think the writing is on the wall that he's going to be the odd man out here, especially with Jalen Johnson too, who needs time.
Yeah, with Jalen Johnson, you forget about him. I mean, depending on how he looks, and I honestly don't feel like we are now. Like you said, Sharif is going to be on the Skyhawks for most of this season coming up. But I mean, if with Jalen Johnson, you might see him on the Skyhawks for the most part as well. I mean, because you already have the four spots solidified. You have John Collins, and then you have Gallinari. But if the Hawks try to swing a trade for Gallinari, of course Jalen Johnson comes into the fold then. So, but as of now, it's kind of like the Hawks are like so deep. It's crazy. Like I didn't expect this, but the Hawks are like they have depth at each position now. So it's going to be hard for guys that you think are supposed to get these amount of minutes or this amount of minutes to get minutes. So I feel like Coach McMillan has he has a battle to fight this season. We're trying to give everybody minutes.
I'm going to lose my mind when Cam does get moved and does become Paul George 2.0, wherever he is, because that's what's going to happen. Is he's going to go to a bad team and he's going to be able to make mistakes and be a lead ball handler and do the stuff that he cannot do with Trey. And it's not an indictment on Trey, but with this group and Bogey and Collins and Capella, like it's too veteran heavy now. Like I don't see him getting the usage that he needs to develop. And I think on the Cavs or whoever, like if it's Indiana too, like obviously the Paul George bit, but like that's what's going to happen. And it's going to be like Hunter's going to be fine. They're going to pay Hunter and maybe get him on a discount because of the injury stuff. And that might be nice. But like Cam, if he does get moved, let me just say, I'm quite confident that dude's going to become a star wherever he gets traded to. And hopefully it's a bad team where he can grow. Maybe even Orlando or something, like just Toronto,
Orlando
whoever it is.
Nice.
Like
Orlando
he
would be nice.
It would be huge. But I hope the best for him because I'm a big Cam guy. Any thoughts? You get 30 seconds on Thad Young in Phoenix. Do you like it?
Whew, Thad Young, Phoenix. I like it.
They're really thin on the front court. I didn't realize how thin they've actually gotten.
They are. I think Jay Crowder did good at that four spot for them. But he's not your traditional four. Like he's really a three in my opinion. He's really undersized. So I mean, you saw in the finals when they was trying to put him up against Giannis, it was at some point it's kind of like, do you really want to keep him on there?
Well, they don't have a choice. I mean, like who's guarding Giannis? Right. When people throw this out, like he's too small for Giannis. Who's the right size to defend Giannis?
I say that it's like Giannis is just so hard to like. It's like okay, you can put him up against the center, but the centers are too slow for him.
Right.
Like his build is just crazy. Like who do you put on Giannis?
Onyeka Okongwu.
And you know what? Okongwu did good.
I'm so upset that he's hurt.
Giannis.
He was so good in the playoffs.
I know. He was good. He did good against him. He's had some flashes against
Embiid
as well. Yeah. So. Yeah, that's a kind of good build. I mean, even if a player like Bam is good against against Giannis too. So, but you don't get a Bam every day. Like you don't see a Bam or I mean, hopefully a Kongwu turns out to be like that. But you don't see those type of players at the five spot or four spot. So, yeah, I mean, like you say, it's kind of hard to even like try to put him up against Giannis or whatnot. But I think I like that he's young. Just what he's done over the years as a veteran, just coming off the bench. And I think at some point last season he was starting. I think maybe because Markkanen was hurt for a couple of games. But
yeah. Also, they were upset. Nice. Like, he was getting starched because the coaching staff was mad. Was he that was 2 years ago, I guess, now, when it was still Boylan, where he was, like, angrily starting fad, and they were benching and moving guys around, and I remember that.
Yeah, so I like that. I think, like you said, they are short on front court depth right now, so I think that's a good move for them.
We'll see. And it also just probably, like, the Jalen Smith stuff is the troubling part of it, because if you're bringing in Thad, he's probably gonna play a lot of four or five. Cam Johnson, but also they lose Saric for the year, like when he went down at the end of that playoff run. So losing Saric, I mean, he's not the same player at all, but he is a helpful piece, and I think they need to replace the Saric minutes. And I think Johnson will do that, but you need a different kind of player, so it just gives you more versatility if you trade for somebody like that, which is important. Last thing, we'll wrap up here, Malik. The case for and against Golden State winning the NBA title next year.
The case for, I'm going to say Klay Thompson. I feel like if Klay Thompson comes back to being that player that he was before he got hurt, I think that Warriors have a good chance. And I mean, if you brought back Iggy, you got two good rookies. We'll see how Wiseman shapes up to be, but they have a solid team over there. And I think, but it all comes on Klay. I feel like if Klay is not the Klay that we want him to be, then they're not going to compete for a title. And that's probably my against. I feel like my for and against is Klay Thompson. Like that, I think he kind of like shifts everything. Like you get a healthy Klay, and then you have the team that they have now, they got a shot. If Klay Thompson is not the Klay Thompson that we all have seen over the years, they don't have a shot. I think that's what it just comes down to, in my opinion. Klay Thompson.
Okay. I think it's Klay. I think it's Otto and Andre still having something left. I think it's Steph being able to recreate what he did last year, which is just preposterous to ask him to do back-to-back years.
Yeah, insane.
I think Draymond's got to shoot better. He's still going to be a defensive anchor. I think Wiseman has to be a lot better. And they need really solid minutes from, why am I blanking on his name? Moses Moody. Kuminga. Sounds right in my head when I'm saying Moses Moody. I'm like, that's not his name. But anyway, like, you need minutes out of those guys. You need Jordan Poole to be somebody that they can count on, because we saw pieces where he can be someone they can count on. But we'll see. I just think it literally requires Steph to be just as good and just as healthy as last year. Klay to be just as, I mean, probably what, 90% of what he was before he went down? 90.
He has to be. Because, I mean, the way Klay just can just take over a game or just shift the momentum of a game, it's crazy. It's insane. Like, he has that type of, like, that impact. So if he doesn't have that type of impact, then and like you said, if Steph isn't how he was last year, like, they don't have a chance.
I just hate the Wiseman pick so much, and not just trading it for
I see a lot of people don't like the Wiseman pick.
What I wanted to happen that never happened was Camilo? Say it again.
Do you think they should have took LaMelo instead?
Yes.
I see a lot of that. I see a lot of people saying they should have took LaMelo.
And people get way too caught up in positions. Like, this is positionless basketball. Like, LaMelo and Steph would have figured it out. Like, they would have figured it out. I still wouldn't even done that, though. Like, I would have just traded the pick for a veteran. Like, somebody who can actually help now. Like, I don't know who that would have been at this moment, but I mean, if you could have done it for Aaron Gordon or something, like somebody who at the time they could have flipped and just got someone who fit their timeline more and could have helped them now. I don't know. I think they're still a little too short for me. I think they're going to be a top five, top six playoff team in the West, but I don't think my gut tells me not a contender, but I also would not be surprised if they move pieces. If they're outperforming their expectations early and Klay looks like Klay, I think they're more likely to put more chips in. I just think they're being cautiously optimistic about this group right now, and they just want to see what Klay looks like. Bradley Beal's got the best situation in basketball, and I've talked about this on this podcast before. I don't know if you will agree with me on this, Malik, but everyone feels sorry for him. Like, everyone everyone in the NBA, like, he has a universal 100% approval rating where it's like, oh, poor Bradley Beal. We got to get him out of there.
Right.
We got to get Bradley Beal out of Washington. What a mess. That is an amazing spot to be in. Like, it stinks when you get traded to a contender. Like, wherever Bradley Beal does get moved to eventually, fans will turn. People will, the perception of Bradley Beal will change. He will be expected to win a title as a number one, number two.
Yeah.
And it won't be as fun. Bradley Beal can just be awful on defense right now. He doesn't have to try anymore. Like, he can just have a 33% usage rate on DC. He gets paid a bunch of money, lives in a major city, gets to be the guy, gets to make all NBA teams, gets to be looked at as like a martyr, as someone who's, he's given it all he has for DC, putting up, like, he can win the scoring title every year if he wants to at this point in DC with this roster. Everything's amazing. If he doesn't care about winning a title and ring chasing, he is in the best position in basketball. Like, Bradley Beal is, when people talk about, like, oh, I feel sorry for him, that man has it made. There are no expectations. He just gets to put up shots. He gets to play pickup basketball every night. He gets to just roll the ball up and be like, I'm dropping 30 tonight, and I'm not going to switch. I'm not going to try on defense, and I'm going to get these points, and people are going to love me. That's it. And then I go home. Bradley Beal has it made.
First take. That's a funny take. But at the same time, it's like, you got a point.
I mean, that's how I look at it. That
he is living the life. I mean, you're right. He doesn't have expectations. Like, I mean, when you look at the team around him, it's just like, man, like, he's really the only guy there. Like, what more do you want from him? Like, he's doing everything he can.
Yeah, they're like, do you want him to? Do you want him to get Rui Hachimura, like, to become an all-star? Like, no. Everyone just looks at it like, oh, what a terrible roster. What a terrible situation. Like, if he brings them to the playoffs, if he keeps them above 500, it's like he solved the pandemic. Like, that's eventually what, like, anything he does is perfect. Like, because he can do no wrong. That man can do no wrong in DC.
Oh, man.
It's a great look. Russell Westbrook was dealing with that before he moved on from OKC after everybody left. Like, the triple-double stuff, the MVP stuff.
You think Dame is dealing
with that? Lillard, a little bit.
Dame's kind of different, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The roster's been good enough where they could really contend, and they've also made a Western Conference Finals. Like, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But it's close. Lillard is close. He's a close comp, but Bradley Beal is in a league of his own where it's like, yeah, I think I'm just going to keep getting a lot of money to go put up a lot of shots and then go home and ice my knees and that be that. That's what I would rather do. I don't want to deal with whether or not I have the it factor.
Yeah. Or if I should have passed the ball in this position.
Yeah, like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with, like, am I a true number one and a contender? You know what I am? I'm a number one on a bad team that I put up a bunch of points on every year. That's what I'm going to do if I'm Bradley Beal. Also, I'm going to keep going by Bradley in my 30s instead of Brad. I'm still Bradley.
Instead of Brad.
He's still Bradley. It's a bold move. Because I'm a big proponent of dropping the L-Y or the Y in your name when you get to a certain age.
When you get older.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Like, I don't trust someone I meet in real life. Like, it's funny because I love Jimmy Butler. He's maybe my favorite NBA player. And I don't even think about it with Jimmy. Like, because he just looks like a Jimmy. And it's just fine.
Yeah.
Like, he's Jimmy Butler. That's fine. Bradley is a little bit, like, I hear the name Bradley and I think of, like, a five-year-old first grader. Like, there's just...
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny that, I think of names like that, too. Like, just randomly call, hey, Bradley. Like, I don't know. Like, Brad does sound more older.
I hope when he does get traded to a contender, like, he does drop the L-Y. He's like, all right, now I'm going to be a grown-up. I'm going to be...
I'm Brad Beal now.
Yeah. Like, when he teams up with the Lakers, he's Brad Beal. Who's to say? Who's to say? I mean, there's nothing wrong with either name. It's just, I don't know. It's hard. I'm trying to think of another option of this. I don't know. I have to think about it. We'll go back. Bobby. Bobby's a good one. Bobby Portis.
Bobby.
He looks like Bob Portis, actually. He's now Bob Portis on this podcast.
Man. But that's some guy I would not try to convince him to change his name or nothing, because Bobby Portis looks like he's terrorizing. He looks very terrorizing. Like, the stare down is kind of like, oh, like, does he want to hurt me? Or Like, what's going on here?
Absolutely. Malik, what can the good folks check out from you across the internet this week?
You guys can find me. I'm a writer for Peachtree Hoops at Peachtree Hoops on Twitter. Also have a podcast, In the Clutch Podcast. And that's really where you can find me. Just trying to get through this little 4-week, I guess, break in between this basketball season. But football season's coming up, so we got something to look forward to.
Absolutely. Until the Falcons and the Tennessee Volunteers kick off, and then it's back to where's the offseason? I needed it back.
Where's the offseason?
You don't know what it's like, man. Saturdays with Tennessee and Sundays with the Falcons is a
Ooh,
rough.
That sounds very stressful.
It's very stressful.
I'm sorry.
It's very stressful, Malik. All right. Well, thank you so much, Malik. I greatly appreciate you making the time. We'll have to do this again soon.
Definitely. Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.